head is making nickels.
Two dimes and a nickel.
Make a quarter every time.
Hold them in your hands as quick as a bunny. When I see the coin, you show me the money. A penny, as quick as a bunny. Show me the money.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Well, as a theme that has been running through the show through the last few weeks is alternative money, the alternative forms of digital currency that have been developed, the first of which was Bitcoin, but there's many others right now. And although the theme is show me the money, we can't really show you the money, but we're going to talk about it. And joining me in the studio is Augie. And Augie, we first dealt with this 5 years ago, but
on,
we've been
on the Morning Edge. And anybody who listened, and it was your good friend. What was his name? He came in. He was not
Mark Edge from Free Talk Live.
Yeah, from Free Talk Live. The you know, have you introduced him yet? Have you done that?
Well, no. The way it works, introducing you because you have the seniority here.
Oh, I appreciate
and
that.
Then I was going to wait for you to gracefully
make
the point that you were doing, and then I was going to introduce the guest.
I turned around and whacked into the wall for you. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So you were making a point about how you had first talked about on the Morning Edge, which I actually was going to interject. Is still available on the podcast, morningedge.podomatic.com.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. We had some really good shows. We really did. We Ollie Norris, a few other great people along the way. Great guests.
Anyway, we talked about that 5 years ago, and I've drug you kicking and screaming back into this topic over a few shows in the last 2 months.
You did, really, in a way.
Not kicking and screaming, though, is our guest, which is Alex Solis, who I first met, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago when I found out about the Bitcoin ATMs is located down at the Shell convenience store on Cortez Road in Bradenton. It's a Byte Federal Bitcoin ATM, and we'll tell you more about that and how to find them. They're all around Tampa Bay. But Alex was explaining the ATM and the currency to someone else at the store at that time, and so I struck up a conversation, and now he's called in last week, and he's given up his time on a Saturday afternoon to come talk to us. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everybody, for having
me. Good afternoon, Alex.
Welcome.
Alex, Augie, Alex.
Yeah, I don't see any gold rings on you or earrings or
nose. Bitcoin chains.
Bitcoins hanging from your nose, nothing. You look very clean and sweatshirty, but other than that, you know.
Not right for radio. He's clean.
He's a young, trim, handsome guy who's shaved his head for the women that catch him going out the door. And he's got arms and armpits with tattoos. But other than that, he's nondescript. But anyway. You have ATMs. Now, I understood, but I'm going to, okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah, please.
You know me. I apologize for that.
Yeah, we're going to let you jump in. But first of all, Alex, let's give you an introduction here. How did you first become aware of Bitcoin?
Well, I came to work one day, and the owner of Shell put a Bitcoin ATM in the morning. I came to work, and he told me, he gave me a dollar, and he said, look, I'm going to start an account for you, and this account right here will make you rich. He said, so I'm going to tell you, and it's on your own.
How long ago was that?
That was in December, when Bitcoin was $600 a coin.
Okay. December of 2016?
Yes, sir.
So,
well,
now I
feel treating you with great respect. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, he'll learn.
Yes, sir, no, sir. Three bags full.
So, that's 7 months ago.
Yes.
And how rich are you now as a result?
Well, I did make 4 times my money from my
$2,400 on that $600 coin.
Yes, and if I sold today, I would cash out with almost $1,800 in profit. But I'm still holding. I'm waiting for the big one.
But the big one. You trade other currencies too, right?
Yes, and what I did was I did take some of my profit and I started buying the altcoins back in January because ETH went from about $6 to.
Okay, you're using, I know you're immersed in this,
okay.
But let's get the terminology.
What's an altcoin?
The altcoin is it's an alternative coin to Bitcoin. Bitcoin was basically the first digital currency, and now they make all other ones using the same basically code and blockchain and all that. And some are less than a penny right now, and you buy one for a dollar, you get maybe 100 of them, and maybe they turn to $100 a coin. You sell them for, you know, 100,000, 1,000, you know, you never know. The more money you put in, the more money you get out.
Do you know why they're jumping in value?
Yes, it's the more people use them, the higher the value goes. And basically the rarer the coin gets in some of them.
So what's the anchor on the value trade that you have? In other words, you said it's worth, you're looking for a gain in dollars to transfer from the Bitcoin to dollars. That means you're looking to rely upon the currency called the dollar, as is Venezuela, which is in a horrible mess. But it's my understanding, see if I'm wrong on this, the Bitcoin business is really geared to currencies already out there that are in flux, or countries that are reliant on the dollar or whatever currency it is and are in economic flux. And they're in the case of Venezuela, they're in economic flux because they relied on oil, and oil is crashing and will continue to crash. So how would you rescue Venezuela?
Venezuela, I would turn all their money to Bitcoin. That would release all the government from controlling their money. I would give all the power to the people and let them, you know, build the currency up from there. Because
Chavez would love you for that. He's now dead in his grave, but Maduro, the current president, would love you even more.
Yeah, think about it. The government there, I'm sure they're telling them, oh, you're not allowed to withdraw this amount from the ATM, you can't do this, that, and I'm sure they're playing with the currency. I know they're raising the minimum wage up, and they're doing all sorts of bad stuff there. But Bitcoin would literally eliminate 90% of that.
But how would you get a product into the country that they could export? Because the only export they have, effectively, Venezuela is unlike Brazil and Argentina and so forth, which have beef and other products that they put out on the international market. They're essentially 100% into oil. How do you make something work against the product that the country sells internationally?
Well, I can jump in here for Alex. Yeah. There are farmers, and so if there are farmers that can sell their product for Bitcoin, then those farmers would have wealth to exchange, or at least money to exchange. There's going to be local entrepreneurs whether it just be a corner food stand or something, that there can be an alternate economy that develops there. It's not going to solve the problem of a government that controls the major commodity of oil, although I'm sure there's a black market in oil and things like that that probably would benefit from it.
But can I say one thing? He made a perfect point right now.
Okay.
So this is how you save Venezuela. So now you got, someone has a computer in Venezuela. They download a Bitcoin wallet, right? And then they advertise on eBay or something. They say their grandmother makes great quilts or great fidget spinner type craze for America, right? All the Americans buy it with Bitcoin. So we don't have Venezuelan money. We just send them Bitcoin. That person becomes instantly rich in Venezuela.
What are you going to buy?
What the products that he was just talking about.
If Venezuelans, they're smart people. They can make something. You know, everybody has something to offer.
They can't. They right now use the dollar. That's where their currency is.
The masses aren't going to benefit, but individuals can benefit. And then some individuals benefit, that wealth will spread as they need to buy other things that are local from people that will accept their Bitcoin.
They have an opportunity to sell to America, and that's one of the greatest opportunities you give a country. If Bitcoin can be transferred.
The product, though, to be internationally sold has to be of a size that matters. And, you know, farmers to farmers and things like that.
A book. We can sell a book. A digital book. It could be the next Twilight. A Venezuelan could write such a great novella, a book, a movie, or anything. It's digitally transferred easily.
Mm-hmm.
It won't cost the Venezuelan anything. Just time.
Well, I think the problem we have here is that you're relying on the dollar to cash out. When your coin, you said at the very beginning of this, that the coin that you're going to transfer, you're going to jump back to the very old reliable dollar, which is the most stable currency for whatever reason.
But
in
that's
the world.
A different situation. You're talking about him, and you're talking about Venezuela. Venezuela can have an alternate economy that's functioning on Bitcoin. He is going to cash out eventually. But maybe not by the time he's ready to cash. He's a lot younger than us. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I did notice that.
We may not even be conscious when he cashes out. He may not have to cash out the dollar.
Henry, you know I've looked at the inside of a coffin. You know that. Because I was in the hospital for 10 weeks, and Henry ran the show. And I came out of my coffin and came on the air with Henry. I was on the mend, but yeah, I was in a coma for about 11 days, and went to the hospital some back in 13.
So he's so told us on a previous show he's 28. So if he's going to retire at age 60, 32 years from now, how do we know that there isn't a full functioning? We don't even know that Bitcoin will be the digital currency, because he was starting to tell us about altcoins.
Well, yeah, I was coming to that. I have a friend I haven't seen in a while. He dealt in electronics and electrical items, and he's from Venezuela. He's a very wealthy man. His first name is Franco. I won't tell you his last name. And I'm sure he's got real problems. I'm sure he's back in Venezuela. He's Italian, living in Venezuela, and he would ship loads of electrical equipment, lights and refrigerators and all kind of thing into Venezuela from other countries, but nothing to export. The export problem for Venezuela is the problem. So how do they get out of the mess they're in? And one of the ways that countries are getting out of the mess they're in is with China coming in, making a land connection for people to move, people movers, called high-speed rail, through the mountains, the Andes Mountains, which they're planning to do, and also in Laos and all these other places the Chinese are doing this. The point is they're exporting labor to build a product called transportation. So if you got a product to give to the world, right now Venezuela really doesn't. And to illustrate it this way, Saudi Arabia is going to totally go to solar. They want to get rid of their oil. It does them no good at all. It's going to be the most useless product as time moves on. So this is so to have a product to sell, the quilts like you mentioned with your grandmother or whoever, there has to be a massive set of products. And if you were to do that, if you were to line up all of the various producers of products, whether it's a farmer like Henry mentioned, or whether it's a quilt maker like your grandmother, those are where you get a product to sell. Then the currency that's backed by the Bitcoin will mean something. That's all. That's the nature of my point. You have to have a product.
Let's go to he's got two dual tracks on you. Let's go to when you cash out.
Okay.
All right. So Bitcoin is pegged to the dollar and many other currencies, and you're going to accumulate wealth, we would hope, as time goes by. But you talked about alternate coins, too. Now, why are they competitive with Bitcoin, and what are they used for? Do they have their own functions?
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, there's one coin called the Note coin. I really like this coin because you can – it's basically a bank. They basically tell on the website we're a digital bank, and we're here just to help you store money and gain interest and all that. So you can put $100 in the Notecoin bank, and they guarantee you that your $100 is safe with them. If their website gets hacked, your $100 is safe, and they will replace it immediately. And
do you know what they back that up with?
What they do is they have a certain amount of coins out, and like if you buy 100 coins, they put a 100 coins in another bank, in a separate vault. So if that 100 coins get stolen, they'll put an electronic vault. Yeah. And they'll just transfer it over, and they show you the two vaults, the one that people have their money in, and then the backed money. They show you the two vaults, everything's wide open for people to see.
Well, I know that I trade on Coinbase, which is the novice place to trade, unlike Alex there, who's got seven months of experience. Yes. But they say that they're insured, too. But my Merrill Lynch account says it's insured, too. So I don't know either insurance policy is going to back it up when it happens. But so that's one function. Yeah, so that was the note. Now, do you have to trade directly with them, or is there an exchange, like a stock market exchange, that you can trade that on?
Yeah, you could do both. You could buy it off their website, or you can buy it off, you know, like Poloniex.com, which I bought all my notes off the Poloniex.
So that we can get the – what is Poloniex?
Poloniex, I think it's probably one of the greatest exchanges. It's an American and a currency exchange, and it's really, really great, and it's very, very secure. You can buy a lot of coins on there, not all of them, but...
How do you spell it? We just put that into Google and we'll find the website?
P-O-L-O-N-I-E-X, Poloniex.
Okay.
Polonius.
It's a weird name, but...
It's Polonius. It's the never borrow, lender be. That's the great philosopher coming out of Greece.
Do we keep him around for a reason?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I wonder if that's why they did it. What do you do if a currency that you were relying on for exchange... the dollar starts to fall radically.
Which, let me just interrupt, as I'm tending to do a lot here. There is a quite a decline because the Bitcoin was around a 3,000. It's now, it's probably going to be under 2,000 sometime today, already. So 50% loss there. All the major alternate currencies, Litecoin, Ethereum, they're all down 50% in about a month's time. So speak to that, please.
Okay, so now the market's crashing right now. It's dying. Everything looks bad. The news is lying on us. The news is saying Bitcoin's over. There's a coin called the Metal Coin. Now, it was like less than a penny, I think, a month ago, and now it's like $3. So if you'd bought a couple thousand dollars worth, you're a millionaire today in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So the world's not over for crypto. And all the Japan is taking crypto full-time now. It's called BitCamera. They're rolling out 300,000 stores this month. Is going to start accepting Bitcoin. China is making their own coin. Everything's rolling. Citigroup is making their own coin, so it's Citicoin.
Goldman Sachs just got a patent on their digital currency.
Yeah, crypto's here. So if you invest now, you're safe. If you know you're going to make a return, you're not going
to
take a loss.
I need to do a disclaimer here. The opinions of Alex are the opinions of Alex alone. They are not those of the station, myself, or I think Augie.
I would agree.
So I want to slow down again a little bit.
Alex, you're into this. Your motivation is you want to get a quick gain. So how are you anchoring your gains? In other words, if you're going to, you could gain, you bought in December, and if you sold off right now, forget about every possible thing down the road. And transfer it into something you could make money on that you've already made money on into that to make even more money. How much do you think you could accumulate in the next month?
If I don't see,
let's say you sold off your investment from December
today,
and you went into this new coin that you're talking about. You could for a dollar for $3, 300% or 3,000% depending where you look at it. And you go to that, and then you got a chance to make more money. So how do you stabilize your investment? In other words, once you make a chunk of money, how do you convert
and
that into?
Why would you make that choice or not make that choice to go into that other coin?
Okay. So what I did was I took my Bitcoin. I made four times my Bitcoin, and then I sold all the profit into. I didn't really sell it. I bought other coins with the profit.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So you diversified in your coin portfolio.
Yes, and I made a really good decisions in the beginning. I was just hitting, dart. I didn't know what I was doing in January, but now I'm really good at this. I have never lost money until the Bitcoin update came up in June. And once that came up, all the markets crashed. Everybody took a loss, but I've never lost a dollar.
Okay,
not even a penny.
But again, we want to slow down. So you diversified, and you made gains in all those coins.
Yeah.
But you rode the wave of all the coins, because there was positive media coverage of that. So they all went up. Now they're all going down. How did you protect yourself on that?
I'm not selling. Oh,
you didn't convert to cash?
No.
You
only lose if you sell. It's because after August, all my coins back in gains, everything's positive and back in profit.
Okay, so then you talked about the update that's causing this decline in the price. What is the cause of the decline in price? Explain what that is.
Okay, so there's this update called the SegWit update, and it's going to start July 21st. And once what that is Bitcoin can only handle 1 megabyte every 10 minutes of transactions.
What does that mean?
It's really, really complicated to explain on the radio, but it's like it's like you can only do so many things at one time because the box is so small.
This is time for me to promote the podcast site, because if you tune in or go to henryrainshow.podomatic.com and listen to the two-part show, last week we had Leonard Lopen from Byte Federal, who is the company that owns the ATMs in Alex's store and around Tampa Bay and St. Pete and Tampa and beyond. And he explains blockchain programming and what its functions are. And he doesn't necessarily explain everything Alex is talking about, but it's a good primer to what he was talking about. So, but those digital currencies, whether not so much Bitcoin, but the new ones, they have a function. They have an intrinsic value in business and their use, and it's depending on the blockchain programming and what it's designed
blockchain
to do.
Blockchain program, what's that?
I'll say in a minute, but to finish the sentence I was in the middle of, the blockchain programming, it it functions at a certain speed. And if you think about, I think the alternate coin market's about $75 billion. Turning over $75 billion or equivalent sounds like a lot of turnover. But when you think of the multiple trillions of dollars in the global economy, these digital currencies to function are going to have to be able to move as fast as regular currency. So these programs can only move so fast, just like the Packard Bell here that we're working on in the studio is a little bit slow compared to modern computers. So this, he's talking about the update is to make these programs work better. This is in Bitcoin. There's coming in Ethereum and Litecoin and all these others that have different functions.
Bringing this down to something that people, I think, fairly well understand. Florida is known as a boom and bust state. Why is that? Because they rely upon construction of housing. What does that mean? Well, when times are bad and the economy falls, the real estate values fall, and they practically give their houses away. And then who picks them up? The big developers. And waits for the boom starting all over again. And right now we're in the middle of some kind of a boom. A year and a half ago, I had a chance to buy a $100,000 house, which I should have bought. It's now worth $200,000 to $300,000. That would have tripled my money on a large number. So that's the kind. So you're in a boom and bust type of currency economy, if you will. So when a country relies upon that. And then I heard in the previous show, Henry, the discussion was, well, if you want to take your money out of the country, you've got it in your wallet as a card that says it's worth $1 million or $10 million or whatever. You will walk across the border. You can't be searched for it because it's not searchable the way, because it's digital. And you go from the United States to Mexico, you can take it to Mexico, as do the drug dealers. I would say the drug dealers are into this pretty good.
Yeah. They take cash, too. The drug dealers take cash, too, and gold bars. And you can't really associate Bitcoin and everything just with drug dealers because drug dealers...
Well, I wasn't
actually,
doing that.
Actually, there's a problem with that, though. You can... Every time that Bitcoin is exchanged, mm-hmm. it creates an electronic record.
Okay.
So as long as you don't spend it, then nobody knows you have it.
Right.
Once it's given to you. So you can take receipt of it. But once that's spent... It can be tracked through your transaction.
On this point, how do you get your money out?
The easiest way is to send it all to Coinbase, and then you could just hit sell Bitcoin on Coinbase, goes to your bank account in 3 hours.
It's a money transfer, electronic money transfer in any amount. So when
on Coinbase they limit you to 10,000.
But
you can break the limit though. There's ways to break that. Like you call Coinbase and they could let you take out $1 million.
I believe it's going to be reported then.
I would think the IRS would be very interested in that.
But you'll be happy to because that means you made so much profit. You know, that little $10,000-$20,000 to the government's nothing.
That's if you're honest and legal.
Yeah.
What he's getting to, let's say you aren't in a high-profile thing like drug trafficking. Mm-hmm. You just want to move your money out of the country, which is illegal by itself.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, first of all, you can create these accounts on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and you can distribute it through across your account. So no, that's not known yet as right. far as the government's.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can buy things from those accounts. If you want to do a transaction bigger than $10,000, you probably need a more sophisticated way to do it.
Very sophisticated way.
But you could move. You can take from those different accounts, like Rush Limbaugh did when he was buying his oxycodone. You get $9,000. You move $9,000, $9,000, $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
You get that into a bank account that you can make your purchases with.
The county of Sarasota years ago did the same thing in terms of they have a voter recall of any referendum to hand money over to any contract. And they were going to spend $10 million. They did it in $900,000 increments. But the thing I'm coming to, you can also buy property. If the money transfers in those large volumes, you make a trade. You make an electronic trade to go to Nice, France, and buy a house in Nice, France that's worth $500,000 or $10 million or whatever. So you can move the money in different ways without anything else.
And the fees are so small, and it's so fast, and
right.
it's so much better than doing it through a bank.
I disagree with Alex there.
Okay.
There's a 2% fee when you're moving this stuff.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, that's a big fee for...
Well, it depends what app you use and stuff, too.
I think Alex
had, which coin you use too. Some altcoins, there's no fee at all. It's literally zero.
Alex, how old are you?
About 28.
So you are looking at the end of your life and want something better in between now and then, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the world's greatest investment. So maybe next year this will all be worth. Because remember, this can work, and next month the coins will blow. Once this update's over, you never know what's going to happen.
So I think we need this conversation maybe one more time.
I think more than once.
Okay.
Once will not be enough.
Yeah, I really think
that. But that's why, as this evolves, I think more and more people are going to come to hear this radio as a source for this, because there's many podcasts. There's, as far as we've been able to tell, there's no broadcast radio doing this now.
You know what could be done here. This man making the kind of money he's making, he wants to come on fairly often. Perhaps he could be one of the sponsors.
Well, perhaps the ATM company that is in his store would be a better choice for a sponsor.
Oh, whatever
or
works.
The company that makes the ATMs for the company that has the ATM.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, if you go back and listen, we'll talk about this off the air. I want to own an ATM.
Oh, do you?
Yes. I don't want to own the Bitcoin as much as I want to own that ATM.
How do you do that? Because I would like to do that too.
Yeah. Well, I will ask our guest from last week if he have an affiliate program.
There you go.
And we will discuss that.
Okay.
And by the way, he may not be listening, and I'll have to tell you off the air. There's a perennial caller here at the station.
Oh, I do know that.
And I will. He actually should really be in a conversation with us on that too.
Oh, good.
So in that mysterious, obtuse way, Alex. So you're going to have to come out. Are you always off on Saturday?
Yeah, usually Saturday.
Oh, okay. So we're going to turn you into a series.
Awesome.
So, and then Augie and I will
rip it apart.
we will get smarter or dumber. We will figure that out as we go too. So, Alex. Thank you for joining us. Let me ask you one other thing here. We're not on too tight a time schedule. There's not a show behind us. We're talking about you being financially well off.
Okay.
What about non-financially well off? How are you? Are you want to have a family? Do you have any? Yeah, you maybe already have a family. You're 28.
Oh, like my goals?
Yeah.
I want to get married. White picket fence. You know, I don't want to do it by 40. I want to do it like maybe my 30s. You know, I don't want to rush it, but. Yeah, I want to have a good life, Christian life, honest life. But I want to be wealthy, though. And I want to make the wealth honestly.
Why do you want to be wealthy, Alex? There's a reason I'm going to come to, but go ahead.
Well, wealth is freedom. I want to throw my alarm clock out so no one owns my time anymore.
What about what you can do for yourself but what you can do for others?
Exactly, and that's where I'm going with this Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I think this is my calling. I've been helping so many people with almost $100,000 in
helping.
You
mentioned the word Christian, and it's always an interesting word for me, because I actually believe that there's a character in history at the time of Constantine called Arius that you might want to look up.
Okay.
At the Treaty of Constantine, the Nicene Treaty.
How do you spell that name?
Constantine?
No, Arius.
Arius, A-R-I-U-S. Arius was a thinker who believed that the teachings of Jesus were what was divine, that he was one of the sons of God, like we all are, which is stated in his prayers. Our fathers, he didn't say my father. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, we are all children of God. So that's the premise for Arius. He was in a fight, and he was ordered put to death. This is historical. You can look it up. Look up Constantine in 325 A.D., and you'll see that he was ordered. He was called a heretic in the end. It was a vote among all Christians at the time. So basically, Constantine said to Christians at the time, do you want the power of Rome and the power of God together? You call it the Holy Roman Empire. Or do you want to do this thing with Arius here, who's going to say that we're all equal and we're all ministers, and then you don't need the authority of a one single authority? And that was the choice they really had to make. And out of that ultimately came the Inquisition, and the heretics were tortured and so forth. And the today, even Pope Francis has mentioned Arius in his talks as he's looking at the church. And I have a relative who's very powerful in the on the deacon thing, and I'm winding it up, who says that Arius is in the minds of many of the clergy in all the faiths. Arius is the Unitarians actually follow Arius. But anyway, you might want to look that up.
All right, all that and more.
I'll stick with Jesus.
The next time Alex comes here, to the Henry Rain Show, and Augie is in the house, and we will maybe even do it as soon as 12:05 p.m. next Saturday right here on WWPR. You can get the podcast again, henryrainshow.podomatic.com, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just Google it. You'll find it. And
I found it.
I've got much to talk with Augie about right after the show, which will probably spill over into next week. You all have a good week.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Thank
all
you.
Around in a piggy bank or pocket or even on the ground. We come in different sizes. We do not look the same. I wonder if you know each of the four of us by name. I'm a President Lincoln penny, a coin that is worth 1 cent. When you save a lot of us, together we can be well spent. I'm a shiny 5 cent nickel. President Jefferson is who you see.